Gospel, chapter 22, verses 15 through 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When he had heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we prepare for the sermon, I invite you to close your eyes for just a moment. Place everything that may be working in the back of your mind, in the back of your feelings, put those aside and try to push those out for just a moment as we come to this place to hear God's word. Lord Jesus, we are hungry for your truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are listening. Amen. Amen. In years past, my family has really enjoyed going to Walt Disney World. Now, it's been years since I stayed at a hotel there, but I remember riding the bus from the theme park late at night after we've spent all day there, after hearing all of the commercials about ways we could spend more money at Walt Disney World. We would pull into the resort and we would hear the voice say, "Welcome home." You know, of all the things that happens at Walt Disney World, that may very well be the biggest lie told. Welcome home, getting off the bus. You know, when you welcome someone home, it doesn't matter how much money you have or what you've done or where you've been in your life. But I tell you what, that if you are welcomed home at Walt Disney World on that bus, that once your money runs out, they're ready for you to go away. Don't you love that you can be a place to welcome anyone into your life and your home, no matter if they brought money or not or who they've been? Isn't it great to be a church that invites everyone, no matter where they've been in life, if they bring money or not, or where they've been, that this is the place, just like last week when we talked about the wedding banquet and how the king went out and invited everyone to the celebration. This is a place that invites everyone. Today, we join in this story, not a parable, but a reaction from the Pharisees and the Herodians. You see, Jesus in this parable is bringing a lot of conflict into the lives of the Pharisees. This sense that everyone is welcome was not a first century world expectation. Matter of fact, this invitation to break down socioeconomic barriers between classes of people, which is a part of the work of the gospel, was not well accepted. Matter of fact, though, in this democratic republic in which we live and the society that we want to be, we will say on the surface that everyone is equal, and yet there are times when those threads of inequalities find their way out. The Pharisees want to do something about Jesus. You might think it weird or strange or even dangerous in today's environment if you were to see two political candidates running for president or even two political parties get together to solve a problem, right? You think, what is this world coming to? But all the things in the world, this is a great story because it brings all those things that are happening in today's world in this story today with Jesus and the Pharisees and the Herodians. The Pharisees, they come together, they went, they plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said about last week, about the wedding banquet, about inviting everyone. And then, particularly with those with Jewish ears heard at the beginning when those who were invited, those who were supposed to be at the banquet, when they didn't come, the king said they were not worthy of the invitation. That didn't set well with Jewish ears. The Pharisees want to plot to get Jesus. And in verse 16, the Pharisees send their disciples, their novices, their pledges, to go encounter Jesus. And of all the people in the world that were sent with them are the Herodians. That would be like two different political parties. The Herodians were loyal to the city ruler of Jerusalem, Herod. Now, Herod is not well loved. He's not very good at his job. Matter of fact, he will be the source of the death of John the Baptist and many others. He will die an unpleasant death. It involves worms. You can read about it later. It was terrible. He saw himself as a god. And these followers of Herod, they want to do away with Jesus as well. So you have the Pharisees, adherents to the law, the teachings, those who want to see the status quo continued, and the Herodians, they conspire together to get rid of Jesus. And they come to Jesus. "Teacher, rabbi, we know that you are sincere," Scripture tells us. Now, they are anything but sincere. They are the opposite of sincere. They are trying to set up Jesus. And with these flowery words, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach about the way of God in accordance to all truth." They did not appreciate what Jesus was teaching about the way of God. And you could imagine that they did not buy into the sense of truth that Jesus was saying. And then of all things, there's double emphasis here at the end of verse 16, and that you show no partiality, that you are not showing deference to people based on their status in the world. Verse 17 comes the trick. "Tell us what you think, Jesus," the disciples of the Pharisees and the Herodians asked him. "Is it lawful to pay a tax to the emperor?" It's a trick question. I love how Jesus responds to this question and how Jesus responds to this challenge here. I could learn from that. You know, I think sometimes I fall into the trap more often than not. Jesus' first response is, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites," or "you actors? You are insincere when you do this," Jesus said. Matter of fact, one of the great criticisms of the church has been that we have been hypocrites or insincere about our faith. Do we really believe what we say we believe? Are we focused on the gospel of making disciples or on other things? We're starting to prepare for charge conference, and we're having finance meetings and trustees meetings and all kinds of meetings about in the life of the church. We're getting our action plans together. We're stating our goals. But most importantly, it arises from this sense of making disciples. And if we get lost in anything else, we verge on losing our sincerity. "You hypocrites," Jesus said to the Pharisees, disciples, and the Herodians. "Bring me some of the money that you used to pay this tax." And in the Greek, the word for tax is census. This is a way that the Roman occupied forces were receiving money based on how many people were in your home. It was not well received by the people in Jerusalem. This week, I think we hit a milestone on the national debt. And my understanding is that most of our debt is held by China. And so one could imagine what it might feel like if we were to have to start sending money to China based on the number of people in our lives. We might start getting just a glimpse of what that would feel like. I don't want more taxes. Do you want more taxes? All right. "Show me the coin used to pay the tax." And someone in the crowd brought Jesus a denarius. On one side was the image of the emperor. And it read, "Tiberius Caesar." son of the divine Augustus. And on the back was the Roman goddess for peace, Pax, P-A-X. And it read, High Priest, in translation. And here it is before Jesus. It's a trick question. If Jesus were to say that it's okay to pay taxes in just a simple yes, then that would be a barrier between him and the rest of the people. It would be like siding with the occupying army, occupying force. For Jesus to say yes was to give in to the power of occupation of Rome. It was also a challenge to their faith because in Exodus and Leviticus and the commandments about creating graven imagery, here is this coin that is full of idolatry. But if he were to say no to paying taxes to the emperor, that would set him up against the Herodians and the Roman power. You didn't get very far by encouraging people to break the law. And just like today, it was not optional to pay taxes in the first century world, right? It's not optional. Looking at this coin in his hand, Jesus said, whose image is on this coin? And what title? And the Herodians and the Pharisees' disciples, they said, it is the emperor's. And I love Jesus' response. He says, give to the emperor the things that belong to the emperor, and to God the things that belong to God. And that's really the heart of today's message. What does it mean to belong to God? And what does it mean to give to God what belongs to God? C.S. Lewis would write, aim for heaven and earth will be thrown in. Aim for earth and you'll gain neither. I don't know that we have to worry so much about giving to emperor what is the emperor's or paying the right taxes. I think that if we could think about what it is to belong to God and to give to God what belongs to God, the other pieces would fall into place. And we're doing this supernatural Bible study. I hope that you have a chance to watch the second video today. It is great. It will go in and give more details about Herod. Dr. Carolyn Moore is talking about other subjects and other texts than what we're dealing with today, but there is a description about Herod in that video, and there are some really meaningful studies that are building as we go through this study together. What does it mean to belong to God? What does it mean to give to God what belongs to God? Next Sunday will be Stewardship Sunday, and we'll hear a testimony next Sunday about the life of Christ and a person's life in the ministry of the church. And thinking of stewardship, I've stood before you and other churches, and I have talked about tithing and about giving our 10% or moving toward tithing. And this really isn't a passage about tithing, but one of the things that kind of rested heavy on my heart is I've often given folks that move toward tithing and talk about tithing like 10% as though that was all that belonged to God in the first place. As a pastor, often folks will come to me and give me the reasons why they're not at church, like they're wanting for my blessing for them to be out and for me to do it with a smile, right? Really, it's not 10% of what we have and what we are that belongs to God. If you started to take an inventory of everything that we have and everything that we are, our time, our talents, our connections, our relationships, our passion, our strengths, really everything that we are belongs to God. And do we give everything back to God, or do we wall off certain parts of our life, like we might wall off an hour to give to God on a Sunday morning? Are we totally committed to the kingdom? Are we sincere about what it is that we believe who Jesus is in the kingdom of God? I have this problem with technology. I love every tech gadget that's out there. I want the latest and greatest. And I would be in real trouble if I wasn't married. My wife helps me by saying no as much as possible to those expensive toys that I want. A couple of years ago, I bought an Apple Watch, and I thought this was it. It connected with my phone. I got news updates on my wrist. I could get text messages, emails. I thought it was great. I could even answer a phone call like Dick Tracy in the comic books right there on my wrist. It was fantastic. It would tell me if my heart rate started going faster. But I noticed something. And some of the time I was spending in devotional, I start getting notifications, and I try not to look. I try to stay focused, but then I'd look. Notice I'm not wearing an Apple Watch today. I'm wearing a Walmart Timex, and it does pretty well with time. I realized that I didn't own my Apple Watch. My watch owned me and my attention. I needed to get rid of that so that I could be more focused. I've heard a friend talk about their house. They live in an older house, and they love their home, but they said they don't own their home. Their home owns them. Matter of fact, there are all kinds of things in our lives that can take possession of us. Our work, unholy relationships, unholy practices. There's all kinds of things that can get a hold of us. Give to God what belongs to God. We're told we're made in the image of God, Genesis. If that's true, and if the love of God is so true for us, then how can we give to God that which is true? The Pharisees' disciples and the Herodians said to Jesus, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere." And he was, but they were not. "And that you teach the way of God according to truth," that Jesus is truth. This last week, we took kind of just a few days for a fall break. It's been an unusual fall break because Grace's in Sumner County Schools was different than Carol's and Max, and she teaches in Robertson County. So while Grace was staying with some friends, we took just a few days to go back to rugby. We just love rugby, and it was the perfect fall rugby trip. And on the last full day, with a beautiful blue sky and all of God's handiwork on the trees surrounding us, we got in the car to go for a drive. I found one of those signs from the state of Tennessee that pointed to a state park, and it said, "Honey Creek Overlook." I thought we'd drive. And we go from the main road to a smaller road to a smaller road. Eventually, we were on a gravel road, and boy, did the boys love this, driving around the potholes and just winding our way up the hillside. Finally, we get to the top, and it was a little disappointing. It was kind of paved, and there were two bathrooms, but we tried not to tell the truth to our kids. We didn't want to use those. And we pull up, and all we can see are trees around us. We get out of the car, and this perfect trip. My mother-in-law still needs your prayers, Polly, but my father-in-law got to come to rugby. He drove to rugby, so he was there with us. We look at the sign, and I see the little trail to the right. It's kind of covered with leaves, and I invite Max to go with me, and everybody just came. And fortunately, it was a very nice paved downward ramp to the overlook. And Bob saw the overlook in a distance. It's not very far, so it was very friendly to driving to the top and getting out and going down the decline to the overlook. When we went out, we looked to the left, and you could see Big South Fork part of the river and the boulders down in the river, and you saw these beautiful rock outcrops of rock straight ahead, and you could see the rest of the river going the other direction off to the right. It was one of the most beautiful scenes I'd ever seen in my life. You need to write this down, Honey Creek Overlook, and you need to go see it. And you really can't appreciate what it is until you go yourself and see it for yourself. You got to go see it. People in our world really can't tell you what it's like to be in the church when they haven't experienced it. People in the world don't understand what it's like to be a follower of Jesus until you experience it. You see, Most of our world lives on the Disney World bus that says, welcome home, and it's full of lies. It's a fantasy, and it's so far less than what the real home is with God. And so, as we ask the question today and this week, what does it mean to belong to God, and what does it mean to give God what belongs to God? It means getting off the bus of fantasy, getting off the bus of the misconceptions that the world is trying to sell us, to get off that bus and to find ourselves at a spot like Honey Creek Overlook that is full of truth. Just beautiful. I had a moment to take Carol and Bob's picture with the kids there, and it was just one of those moments that will be a memory for a lifetime right there, a moment of truth. Do you feel like you're going in circles and it just doesn't make sense, that the world doesn't make sense to you, that home doesn't make sense? Do you feel lost? You could still show up and not know what it is to fully give yourself to God. Give yourself to Jesus. Don't hold back in any dimension of your life. Verse 22. Says that the Pharisees and the Herodians, in hearing Jesus' response about give to the emperor what belongs to the emperor and give to God what belongs to God, it says that they were amazed and they left him and went away. That's a pretty good way to deal with this story, right? The only thing is they come back three more times and try to trick Jesus in the same chapter three more times, which tells us that every single day of our life, we have to come to this moment every single day. Every moment, give God what belongs to God. And when we do that, we continue to do that. It's not just once, but we continue to be challenged with the distractions of the world. We continue to be challenged by the passions of the world, that we can be captivated by all kinds of things, and we may not even realize that we're on the bus until we're there. But that you could recognize what it is to belong to God. Recognize what it is to belong to Jesus. Give God what belongs to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.